in service to their country. The Charlestown Navy Yard, established in 1800, was one of the nation's first six navy yards. More than 200 vessels were built here, from frigates and brigs to landing ships and destroyers. Their missions varied as much as their design, highlighting the many ways men and women of the U.S. Navy have served their country. The following five vessels are among those built at the Charlestown Navy Yard. USS Independence. Launched June 1814, USS Independence was the first ship built at the Charlestown Navy Yard. This three-masted, square-rigged vessel with two covered gun decks was the battleship of that era. On the sign, the painting of the black-hulled USS Independence shows her with almost all her white sails filled by the wind as she sails over light seas. During the War of 1812, Independence, together with USS Constitution, protected approaches to Boston Harbor. Then she spent 20 quiet years docked in Boston. In the 1830s and 1840s, she served as the flagship of several squadrons sailing to Europe, Russia, and Chile. In 1857, Independence was docked again, this time at Mare Island Navy Yard. She was stripped of her sails, rigging, and cannon to serve as a receiving ship, a floating barracks, until 1912. USS Porpoise. The next image is an 1844 aquatint of the USS Porpoise. She is sailing on stormy seas and has only five sails up. Two other vessels are sailing nearby. Several seabirds are flying overhead. In 1836, 2 years after USS Porpoise was built at the Charlestown Navy Yard, the brig sailed around the world as part of the notable U.S. exploring expedition. Over 4 years, the six-vessel naval squadron sailed almost 87,000 miles, explored and surveyed 1,500 miles of the Antarctic continent, charted hundreds of Pacific islands, and mapped the Pacific Northwest coast. The squadron returned bearing thousands of specimens and artifacts, which helped form the basis of the Smithsonian Institute's collections. Between 1843 and 1851, USS Porpoise served off the coast of West Africa as part of the African Slave Patrol, charged with intercepting slavers. Then, in 1854, while assigned to her second scientific expedition, Porpoise was lost at sea with all hands, somewhere between Taiwan and China. USS Merrimack. Next is a colored illustration from Ballou's pictorial, dated July 14, 1855. It shows the launching of the 275-foot-long USS Merrimack. She is afloat, having just slid off the ways into Boston Harbor. On the left is the ship house where the ship was built. Dozens of people line the waterfront, having come to watch the launch, and a cannon has just been fired. In the foreground, there are some 20 boats of all shapes and sizes, schooners, rowboats, a longboat among them. All are there for the grand event. The USS Merrimack was a hybrid frigate powered by sails and coal-fired steam engines. In 1861, when the Civil War began, Merrimack was stationed at Norfolk Navy Yard in Virginia, a state that had just seceded from the Union. The U.S. Navy feared their warship would fall into Confederate hands. They ordered the Merrimack burned and scuttled. However, Confederates needed warships. They raised Merrimack, covered her hull with 4-inch-thick iron plates, removed all rigging, and renamed her CSS Virginia. March 9, 1862, CSS Virginia faced USS Monitor in the world's first naval battle between ironclad ships. For hours they pounded each other with cannonballs. The armored plates deflected them all. With the battle a tie, the ironclads withdrew. 2 months later, to avoid capture by Union troops, Virginia's commander ordered her burned, again. The battle, however, signaled a new era in naval warfare. USS Monahan. To the right of the USS Merrimack is a black and white photograph of the USS Monahan on the open sea. She is riding low in the water. Launched at the Charlestown Navy Yard in 1935, destroyer USS Monahan was stationed at Pearl Harbor when the Japanese attacked the U.S. Pacific Fleet December 7, 1941. Minutes after the bombing began, Monahan was searching for enemy midget submarines in the harbor. The destroyer tried to ram one of the subs, which fired a torpedo at her, but missed. Monahan's crew dropped two depth charges and sank the sub. Anti-submarine warfare was often Monahan's mission. She guarded carriers and provided a protective screen from enemy subs at the pivotal Battle of Midway. Despite the extraordinary danger the destroyer faced in multiple battles, it was not the enemy that destroyed her. 1 week before Christmas, 1944, a typhoon capsized the destroyer, killing all but six crew members. Landing Ship Tank 310. The last vessel featured on the sign is Landing Ship Tank 310. The D-Day invasion is featured on the black and white photograph, showing multiple landing ships up on the beach or in very shallow water. LST 310 is the closest on the far right. The photo captures the extraordinary action during the invasion. Men and military equipment are pouring out of the LSTs. Hydrogen-filled barrage balloons are flying overhead. Anchored by wire to the ground, the balloons prevented low-flying aircraft from strafing landing troops from a low altitude. Scores of military vehicles are lined up in the process of leaving the landing site. In the background, the sea is filled with Navy vessels. Landing ship tank LST 310 was one of 46 built at Charlestown Navy Yard during World War II. As the photograph captures so vividly, LSTs enabled beach assaults. Their unique design included a flat keel, as well as twin propellers and rudders, so the vessel could ride up on a beach, stay upright, but not run aground. Tanks, vehicles, and troops exited through a huge door in the bow. With a crew of 14 officers and 131 enlisted men, LST 310 helped Allied forces retake Europe, first in amphibious landings on Sicily and mainland Italy in 1943, and later in June 1944 on the Normandy beaches, D-Day.